voice, but we also need to hear other voices. And we're privileged, I think, to have Jenny McManus kicking the conference off. She's been all over the world. I looked her up on Google, it's worth your while. Give it a wee go. And she's been in Tallinn. She was in Tallinn. She was speaking about self-evaluation and external evaluation in Tallinn some time ago. And I thought that was an absolutely appropriate starter for what we're talking about this morning. Because whatever change or improvement we make in the system, it will only successfully come from the inside out. It won't come from the outside in. We might have a framework, but we will not be driven to make change and improvement. And if we are, that change and improvement will not be substantiated and it won't last. So somebody that's got the understanding that Jenny demonstrated in that session around how important it is for us to look at our practice, for us to see not just what works, but to see what works here, which is the really important question. I think that's the direction we need to take. Jenny's very experienced. She's an attainment advisor. We'll not be holding that against her at all. And we'll give her a brilliant welcome to our conference. Ladies and gentlemen, to kick us off, Jenny McManus.
Thanks very much, David. I was beginning to panic there when you said you looked me up in Google. And I was trying to think, oh, goodness, what's online about me? I'm absolutely delighted to be here this morning. Beautiful sunny day, driving through to Stirling, lovely landscape to look at. But actually, what's much more delightful is actually to see this room packed with people who are committed to Scottish education. And you're all here today giving up your Saturday because you are those people. And as David said, you know, the key to changes and to system improvement, it is all about self-evaluation, it is all about learning and teaching, and it's about having practitioners and leaders such as yourself who are committed to making change happen, because the power of system improvement is here within this room today. So really, it's just delightful to be here, and I'm really looking forward to spending the day with you. It's interesting in terms of when I look back and I think about my education that I had, and I think about who do I remember? Who sticks in my mind? Which teacher do I remember? And I do remember, Mrs. Miller. She was my primary five teacher. And she had a very stylish haircut for that time, for that period of time. And she drove a red car, really small. I think it was an Imp red car, and it stuck in my mind. And I was thinking back to, why is that the teacher out of my whole primary, secondary career that sticks in my mind? And it's because she made me feel special. And she listened to me. And she had that informal chat as well as the teaching as well. So I just want you just to reflect for a moment. Who stands out in your mind? When you think back to your time in school, who stands out in your mind? And I do just want you to think and see if there's someone that either immediately springs to your attention or you have to think about a little bit longer. Have you got someone in mind? Yeah? Yeah? Because this is really important. Because there is someone in your class who is going to change the world. And when they tell their story, how will they remember you? What will you have done that has made a difference? What have you done that has motivated or inspired or made them feel a sense of belonging or encouraged, helped them reach their aspirations, set high expectations for them? But it's hard and it's tough and it's challenging. And when you think about when you come into teaching and you've got those really, I'm going to change the world and I'm going to make a difference, and then you turn up in the Monday morning and things land on top of you and the day-to-day grind goes on and there's another priority or there's another piece of paperwork to do or there's something else and it keeps adding on. And sometimes there's another priority and another key element to be worked at. And for me, this is a quote that always brings you back. When I come into that during the week, or that Wednesday, or that Thursday, when you just think, oh, enough, it's that part, because that's why I came into education. And it's why I've stuck with education throughout my career. And you have the chance, really, to make a difference to so many children's lives through what you do in your classroom and in your schools. So David talked about Scottish education, and I think there is a very clear vision for what we want to achieve in Scotland, and that is excellence and equity. Because what we want to do is we want to raise attainment for every child and young person in Scotland. But also we need to ensure that every child reaches their potential. Every child is given the opportunity to succeed. And every child has the same opportunity to succeed in terms of what we do. Because if we are going to raise attainment and achieve equity, we have to increase attainment while at the same time putting in extra interventions and extra approaches that are going to help all of our children and young people to achieve their potential. And only through doing that will we get both excellence and equity. It's not one or the other. It's got to be both in what we're doing. Because we know from our statistics, we know that we have a gap between those children who live in the least and the most deprived communities. And we know that that gap starts very early. By the age of 5, we see that gap in both vocabulary and problem solving. And what we have in Scotland, no matter how hard we try, no matter what we put into place, we cannot yet say that we're able to close that gap. We are making progress, but we've still got a long way to go before we really address the poverty-related attainment gap. And that was obviously highlighted in an OECD report, which was published at the end of last year, which recognised the strides that Scottish education has made. The work that's been achieved through implementation of Curriculum for Excellence, having that framework that gives you the opportunity to really personalise your curriculum, the experiences that you offer children and young people, and really tailor it to ensure that they develop the right skills for learning, for life, and for work. But we need to be rigorous about the gaps to be closed and pursue relentlessly closing the gap and raising the bar simultaneously. Excellence and equity. And we need to ensure a consolidated and evidence-informed strategic approach to equity policies. So we need to line everything up. And we need to ensure that everyone has got that shared understanding of what we're trying to achieve. And one of the gaps that we are looking at in Scotland, and we have been doing so, really having a focus on it over the past year, is the gap for those in the most least and most deprived communities. And that is where we have brought into place the Scottish Attainment Challenge. And that challenge was brought into place because we recognised that we do have to close the poverty-related attainment gap. That's not the only gaps that we have in Scottish education, but this is the one that the Scottish Attainment Challenge is shining a spotlight on. It's not to say that others aren't any less important, but it's just a particular targeted programme of activities that will focus on closing the poverty-related attainment gap. And it gives everyone in Scottish education, from national, such as Education Scotland and Scottish Government, to local authorities, down to individual schools and individual practitioners, everyone having that focus on really raising our attainment and ensuring equity. And it's been a pleasure to see, you know, in visiting schools and local authorities, really seeing the commitment of people to look at what information that they hold about children and how they can use that to tailor their learning and teaching approaches to help them achieve all their areas. So the Scottish Attainment Challenge has 3 different levels at the moment. There is an element which receives significant funding, and that's through the Attainment Scotland Fund. And there are two elements, Challenge Authorities and Schools Programme, and some of you in the room will be involved in those areas as well. And what we looked at where are the most concentrated areas of deprivation in Scotland and what additional finance and funding can we give those areas to help them to focus on approaches, interventions, really to look at how we can close the gap. And that's not all about new things. It's about taking what's working well already and can we build on them? Can we increase the pace of implementation? Can we spread it more widely as well? But also, we want people to be bold, to be creative, and to be innovative, to try new things. Because if we always do the same as we've done before, we'll always get the same results. So how can we try things and do things in a different way? But recognising that they won't all work. But having the courage to stop, having the courage to try something, evaluate it, if it's not giving the desired results, if it's not improving outcomes for learners, then let's stop, review, reevaluate, shift direction, or try something else. Because the creativity that we have in this room, across Scotland, really to encourage people to try different things, really is limitless. And then we also have in place what we're calling a universal support. And that's what's available to everyone in Scotland to support them in this targeted programme. And that includes, for us as Education Scotland, putting an attainment advisor in place for each local authority. And also we recently launched an innovation fund to encourage schools who are not already benefiting from the Attainment Scotland Fund to put forward projects, to put in bids for funding that they can try to help support the work that they're doing. And we're going through the process of reviewing them to see where we are. So what else can we do to look at experiences and outcomes to help our children and young people? Well, we know from our inspection evidence that we are making progress because we really can see that learning experiences are improving. The learning experiences across Scotland are much more motivating. We see children who are more motivated. We see children who are more resilient. We see children who are much more engaged in their learning, actively involved in their learning, talking about their learning, explaining how they've solved problems, how they've met challenges, how they have been created. So we're seeing that much more, and that was backed up by some of the strengths that the OECD recommended as well. But are our outcomes improving yet? And that's the area that we have got some more work to do. And we know that through our leadership and through our learning environment, fundamentally through our learning and teaching, that ultimately we will achieve success and we will be able to improve our successes and achievements for children and young people. So the big key question, three key questions for you, particularly related to closing the poverty-related attainment gap. So key questions for you. The big one. When you reflect, when you're in your classroom, when you're in the staff room and when you're having your dialogue, both within your own school and across other schools, how well do you improve attainment for children facing barriers to learning, and particularly including poverty? How well can you respond to that question? How well do you know? And it's only through self-evaluation, which is robust and rigorous, that you're able to answer that question. In your schools, do you know the children who are living in the most deprived communities and attend your school? How do you know them? What's working well? What strategies and approaches, interventions are really helping them to make very good progress in their learning? And we must remember, we are not saying that children who come from deprived communities are underachieving. But where we have our children that are achieving really well, are we sharing the strategies and approaches that we're using to make their learning successful? And it comes down to three key areas: leadership and management. How good is the leadership and your approaches to improvement? How are you using leadership and management to improve the work of the school? How good is the quality of care and education that you provide in meeting the learning needs for all your children? And how good are you at ensuring the best possible outcomes for all of you, those your learners? And through achieving all those ones, you're really able to say, what is your capacity for continuous improvement? Because it is a never-ending story for education. There's always areas to improve. There's always areas to reflect on. As years go on and you're really meeting with new children in your classes who are facing different barriers to learning, it is that continuous cycle and that importance of you being reflective, of inquiring and challenging each other. So we've identified 12 sort of key approaches to closing the equity gap. And there are a couple of areas from this that I'll touch upon today. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there are some of them that I will touch upon today. And the first one really is about developing professional learning and leadership at all levels. And that focuses on that leadership and management area. And it is at all levels, from children to parents through to staff and ultimately through to leaders in your school. So what are some of the areas that we identify through our inspection that are really, that we know make a difference in terms of taking forward that leadership? It's got to be a whole school commitment to closing the poverty-related attainment gap. It can't be done in isolation. And we know from the concentrations of children in deprived communities, sometimes it's most, almost all, children who are attending your schools. But even if it's not, even if it's lower percentages, is everyone in the school on board? Not only teaching staff, support staff, parents and the communities that surround that, is everyone really committed to it? In schools that are really successful at improving, we see self-evaluation that is embedded. It's just part and parcel of the conversations, the dialogue, the learning in the school. It's an ongoing feature of school life. It's not something that's done once a year, twice, monthly. It just becomes part and parcel. And when we visit schools, it really is from the moment you engage in dialogue with a member of staff, whether self-evaluation is embedded, you feel it, you hear it, you talk about it, and it's part and parcel of what everyone does. There's got to be teamwork. And there's got to be teamwork within the school, within the classrooms, and across communities, across schools as well, within your local authorities. And that's about sharing practice, learning from each other, both what is working, but also what's not working. But supporting each other and challenging each other. That critical element of professional dialogue and using professional dialogue to really challenge people's thinking. Using it to encourage and support, but promote new ways of doing things. Does everyone in the school have high expectations of all learners? How well are you making use of research and data, both from within Scotland, but also out with? We need to learn from others. We need to use research and evidence that we can discuss, debate, challenge, reflect on, but really make effective use in it to know what we want to do and what we want to achieve. And now we're encouraging all staff, parents and children in the process of change and improvement. So these are some of the key things that we see in schools that really have a very strong focus on supporting improvement in the leadership element. And as part of leadership, it is about challenging beliefs and assumptions. We've tried that. It won't work. It won't work for these children. I'd love to do it, but... And do we challenge that? Do we challenge the dialogue that isn't going to support our vision? Do we challenge the dialogue that isn't going to support children achieving their potential? And that's part of that support and challenges as we. How solution-focused are we to come up with solutions? It is tough. It is challenging. But even the fact that you are here today really looks at how can you challenge these assumptions? How can you challenge this? And a very strong focus on professional learning and inquiry. Collaboration within, across and beyond schools. That really has a very strong focus on strengthening leadership, empowering people, supporting and challenging. Learning from each other. Joining together to come up with solutions. And supporting self-evaluation by looking not only internally but externally as well so that we can work together. And what we are seeing is we're seeing a much stronger focus in our schools on collaborative action research, really taking a key and fundamental question and exploring that through collaboration, but having a very strong focus on research so that you're looking at what information you hold already, how you're going to improve on that and how you're going to measure the success of it. So it's really great to see so much professional inquiry going on and a really increase in the way that people are using collaboration along with research to tackle the areas of improvement that they want to take forward. And this quote is good, and you have the potential here. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. For you, for all your staff, but also for your children as well in your classrooms. So, looking at learning provision is another area, and that's about learning, teaching, assessment, curriculum. And as David said, it's high quality learning and teaching. That is what will do it. That's what will help us. That's what will support improvement. What's going on in the classroom? When you're looking at your curriculum, is it informed by the unique features of the school community? When you look out the window of your school and you look into the community, what are the barriers to learning that you then have to feature in your curriculum to help to ensure equity? When you look out of the window, how can you do that? How can you tailor your curriculum to meet the needs of all your learners? And that means sometimes you need to look at the balance and different elements. You need to put an emphasis on some areas more than others. But that's where the flexibility of the framework of Curriculum for Excellence really supports you to do that, to look at the needs of all your learners. And the needs of your learners will change year on year. And the needs of your communities will change year on year. And that's really why there has to be that really consistent and constant review of your curriculum to check, is it still meeting the needs of our learners? Do we need to reshape it? Do we need to look at it in a different way? What's our learning environment like? Is it positive? Nurturing? Is it motivating? When you walk around your schools, is there a buzz? When you go into your classrooms, is there a buzz? How will children remember their school life? Is it being motivating and encouraging? And of course, high quality feedback, really encouraging children to talk about their learning, helping them to know what they're doing well and what their next steps to improvement are, helping them really to set high expectations, to set challenges, but also to giving them the steps to helping them to get there. Assessment is integral to teaching and learning, and really from the outset, because if you don't know where your children are in their learning, how can you plan their next steps effectively? But ultimately, we need to make approaches to assessment, to tracking and monitoring manageable. And ultimately, it's not a paperwork exercise. It's about improving learning. Because sometimes we go into schools and there are folders and folders of information. It's not making a difference. It becomes a bureaucratic exercise. And we are really focusing really hard to encourage schools to reduce that and talk about and make it more effective. So your curriculum, some key things about your rationale. What makes you unique? Where are you now and what do you need to do next? What are the drivers for your curriculum? What are the drivers for your curriculum that are going to help you to close the attainment gap? What drivers are more important than others to help you achieve your ambition? And does everyone in the school have that shared understanding? Does everyone in this community have that shared understanding as well? And that ongoing review and refinement and development of the curriculum to make sure that it's always fit for purpose. For children who perhaps don't have a lot of books at home, how do you tailor your curriculum so that you are reading with them on a more ongoing basis? Is that a focus that you need to look at? How do you get them engaged in reading? How do you get them engaged in books? How do you get them to extend their vocabulary and make it exciting? And part of that is really through reading engagement. So how does your curriculum take account of that? Does it need to? Do you need to increase that and decrease something else? Really to make sure that your drivers are meeting the needs of your children and your community. And then looking at feedback and praise, it is crucial. Where does our balance sit? Are we really looking at praising achievement and effort? Are we praising when children make mistakes, but really go back and through that dialogue are encouraged to look at where they've made the mistakes, to try again, to think about how they could do things in different ways? Do we discuss strategies that have helped them, remind them of the strategies that they've used in previous occasions that they can then apply, and supporting them to ensure that the learning is challenging enough? So lots of elements to think about there. And just this sort of poem, I think, is reflective when we're looking at the learning provision that we put in place for our children. For their barriers, really, how well do we know our children and some of the barriers? We can't ever know all the barriers, but do we take account to help them to know what some of our children are facing and helping them to engage in their learning? But the key elements to really having an impact on outcomes is through self-evaluation. And the focus of self-evaluation should always be the so what question. So what? What difference is it making to our children? And for us, as part of the Scottish Attainment Challenge, so what? What difference is it making to closing the poverty-related attainment gap? So when we see effective self-evaluation really leading to self-improvement, we see some of these elements here. But particularly we see an element of universal and targeted, that there are whole school approaches in place to take forward the raising attainment, to take forward the excellence agenda. But that there always really is that key element of where do we need to put extra into place? Where do we need to put in rapid interventions to support improvement? So that universal as well as targeted. Knowing where you are, knowing where you want to get to, and putting in place steps that are going to help you to achieve that. And when you look in the mirror of self-evaluation, what do you see? And how honest are you? Are we saying everything's rosy and everything's working? Are we really honest to say this isn't working as well as it could? What are we going to do about it? How can we tackle it? How can we move it forward? So it's not saying that everything's great, but it's a putting in place things to take it forward. And the key tool that we have to support with that element of self-evaluation is through how good is our school or how good is our early learning and childcare, from the whole suite of self-evaluation toolkits that we have in place. And this is a new version of Higeus, which was launched in September, and people are using it and becoming more familiar with it. There are a number of changes in place in the document, but fundamentally, these three questions still remain. How are we doing? Looking inwards, looking at ourselves, looking at the quality indicators to benchmark against what we're doing. How do we know? How are we learning from others? Whether it's beyond your classroom, beyond your school, beyond your local authority, beyond Scotland. And what are we going to do now? What are we going to put into place? What might the future look like for today's learners to achieve their full potential? So Higeus 4 has those three questions at the top: leadership and management, learning provision, and successes and achievement. And there are 15 quality indicators in there and some new ones as well. But it's really important, because what Higeus 4 does for us, much more than our previous versions, is it allows us to take themes and look across learning and leadership and management, learning provision, and successes and achievements. And you can see those two white arrows, triangles, are really important. And there's an illustration at the back of the document that really takes you to a question that you're asking and how you can use some of the themes within a whole range of quality indicators to help you support that, the work that you're doing. So when you're going back to that very first question that I asked you, how well are you closing the poverty-related attainment gap, you will be able to take themes from leadership and management, learning provision, and successes and achievements, really to follow it, not only in a vertical element, but also horizontally, really to get those successes and achievements. Particularly to Higeus 4, there is a quality indicator for raising attainment and achievement, which features in our successes and achievement elements. And within that, there are three very key elements. There's an illustration based on each theme. And that's that very good illustration. We no longer have the weaker illustration within Higeus, and that's because we want everyone to aim for very good. Why would we want to illustrate what weak practice looks like? Ambitions for Scotland. Why do we want to look at that? We want to look at being at least very good. So we've put illustrations in for each of the themes. But to support your discussions and to support your looking outwards, we also have features of highly effective practice for each of the quality indicators. And our intention is, as we use How Good Is Our School from August this year for our inspection process, that we will bring in more examples of features of highly effective practice, because they're out there in the system. We know that. We see it. And through our online tools, we will be able to update those regularly so that you've got lots of elements to look at. And to support your professional learning, and inquiry, we also have challenge questions. And that really is to help you and to help your schools in promoting professional dialogue to take that forward. But also significantly within our Higeus, if we look at that evaluation of excellent, I've just highlighted a little bit there. Because an evaluation of excellence means that there is deep professional understanding which is being shared beyond the school to support system-wide improvement. It's no longer good enough to have really strong, highly effective practice, but it's kept within your school. For you to be sector leading, you have to be sharing that more widely. Collaboration. Working with and learning from each other so that we can support the system to move it forward. And when you look at self-evaluation and you're looking at the work you're doing, it is that so what question. What difference is it making? What impact is it making? And to what extent are you using your full knowledge to identify the right changes and prioritise those that are likely to have the biggest impact to address the poverty-related attainment gap? How are you using research? How are you using information, data? How are you using features of highly effective practice really to help you to prioritise what's most important and what's going to have the greatest impact? And a couple of areas just to highlight to you to support you in your work in really closing the gap is we have launched our new National Improvement Hub. And this is in addition to our own website. And it really is a focus in taking people through the self-evaluation journey. So there will be self-evaluation toolkits on board that you can use. And we're looking to really make those a digital resource so that you can do a pick and mix depending on what question you want to address in your school. A very strong element on research and the latest research and research briefings and thought pieces from academics to promote your professional dialogue, challenge your thinking, and encouraging you to do things in different ways. We will also have resources that support learning and assessment. What key national resources do we hold that will help you to address the barriers to learning that you're facing? And we'll also have a very key focus on exemplars of practice. And it's always been a challenge for us to get exemplars of practice into the system quickly, and that's what we're going to be able to do through our hub, really to support you so that you know what else is happening, what's working well that you might like to try. For our Scottish Attainment Challenge, we also have our online professional learning communities that are accessed through GLOW. And some of the conversations that people have been having around some research briefings have been really motivating and stimulating. So I would encourage you all, it's a safe place to have dialogue, conversation and link up with others in the system. And on Monday, our latest version of Education Scotland News with a focus on attainment will be published. So again, you'll see some examples there as well. So, and just in closing, some thoughts to take away with you today. Evaluate, self-evaluate, review, using your quality indicators from Higgius to support you. Prioritise those that are going to have the biggest impact. Because if everything's a priority, then nothing is a priority. So really focusing in on that. Decide on what methodology or methodologies you're going to use that are going to have the biggest impact and support your improvements. Involving your community, staff, parents, children. Collaborate. What you're doing today is great to see. Collaboration, and then evaluate again, is it having the desired impact on what you're wanting to do? And really, I saw this picture and I quite like it. Focus on what's important, capture the good times, develop from the negatives, and if things don't work out, take another shot. Thank you very much.
I don't think we could have asked for greater clarity in terms of setting out what the framework involves, and I think there's lots of themes that are going to come out of Jenny's presentation which we'll return to throughout the course of the day. And one of the challenges that I would put, and I'm sorry to see that Fergal Kelly's presumably slipped out to get to his workshop. When was the last Teach Meet held in Scotland? If you look at the website for Teach Meets, there's not a Teach Meet planned or scheduled in Scotland that I can find. And yet, 2-3 years ago, there was a real plethora of that kind of activity. And it seems to me that what we've heard, and I think with all due respect to Janie, is a combination of Fulham, Dweck, the London Challenge, a whole range of other things. I mean, Higgius is new, bright, shiny, and it's a much more expansive and helpful document than it's been up until now. But it's been around in Scotland for a long time now. And I think one of the challenges that we really got to face is that all these bits have been in the jigsaw. We've got some new diagrams. We've got some new frameworks. What is it that brings them to life? And there's a brilliant quote from, I think, one of the greatest losses we've had in Scotland over the last year, and it's from McIlvany. And William McIlvany's poem, at one point he says, "And so adrift in unknown selves we lie, abandoned to dark plucks of circumstance, not knowing what will come or what we'll do, or where the tides of sleep will wash us, and shy from the sculling shapes that feed in mind, feel every certainty drift out of reach, and sigh, and hold each other, Christ with touch, to share what is not shareable, and know the jerking terror of time's undertow, and madly try to dream ourselves a beach." And I think some of the things that McIlvany captures about confusion and fear and challenge, because as Janie said, this is a gap we've been trying to close. I mean, why always challenge? Why always challenge? Why never the Scottish attainment encouragement? You know, I'm just putting it out there because I think an awful lot of the things that are captured in the framework are catching up with things that were endemically put there by Pettigrew, by Teach Meets, by Acts, and by STEP. It's you who've madly tried to dream yourselves a beach. And I think sometimes when we're posed with a challenge, our automatic reaction as Scots people and educators is to try and work out how we're failing it. You know, if you do evaluations at the end of the day, and there's 100 and odd off you here, and 136 off your right. David Cameron was the perfect chair for the day. He was marvellous. His summaries were entirely opposite. His conclusion at the end of the day was brilliant. He was entertaining. He was humorous. And do you know what? He was strangely physically attractive for an older man. And I did wonder if his mobile would be made available in the conference publicity. And two people go, where did they get that tosser? And why is it always him? The other 136 of you might as well not bother putting pen to paper, because that's what I'd have been focusing on. And while today's got to be about a challenge, it's also got to be about an encouragement and a reassurance. And I think a real vote of thanks to STEP for creating, and Jenny recognised it superbly, creating a framework where we can have the kind of discussions we need to have and which we're going to begin to have in the workshops. You know which workshops you're going. They're all in the corridor. I'm sure you're intelligent enough to find them. But before you embark on your orienteering, please, for the clarity, for the succinctness, for the passion that underpinned it, and the commitment, please. Thanks very much to Jenny McManus.